In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Today, Jesus doesn't answer her a word. Today, Jesus says about her, "I was sent only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Today, Jesus says to her, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." How comforting. And yet, I would argue that today's Holy Gospel has some of Jesus's most wonderful and sweet gospel of comfort. But not at first glance. Nowhere in the Gospels do we find Jesus more harsh, standoffish, even, it seems, downright nasty. He flat out ignores her. He excludes her. He even considers her less than human, nothing more than a house pet. This isn't the sort of Jesus that we'd like to meet, who would take us by the hand, carry us in his arms, and guide us to springs of living water, Jesus. Yet, this is the man we meet today, seemingly contrary to our hopes, one who withdraws to the region of Tyre and Sidon. That is an important detail. Tyre and Sidon, this is not the land of believers. And the woman he meets is a Canaanite, someone who was supposedly devoted for destruction. She is not what we would expect Jesus to gather to himself. But we learn today that his sort of Israel is an Israel of outsiders, of oppressed, of those suffering from demon affliction, or addiction, or depression, or even doubt and unbelief. This Jesus is the one who makes them feel worse than a dog, forces them to cower in the corner, terrified that this Sunday might be the Sunday when he lashes out and beats them. But hoping, secretly hoping, that even just a little crumb of the goodness of God would fall from the Master's table for them. It's been a rough day for the Canaanite woman. She still has the taste of bile in her mouth from the insults she experienced in her heart. She knows she deserves it. The evil thoughts, the hate, the lust, the coveting, the mocking, everything she experiences in her flesh have corrupted her from the inside out as they have any of us. She's ashamed of who she is, of her Canaanite origin. She knows that she ought to have been devoted to curse, to being cursed, to being destroyed. But she is for us an example, a good one. Not like St. Peter, whom the Lord has to rebuke, "O you of little faith, why do you doubt?" Nor is she like the Pharisees and the scribes, whom Jesus says, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone, these scribes and Pharisees. They are blind guides, not the Lord's planting." No, this Canaanite woman, one whom we would not expect to believe, is the one whom the Lord draws near to himself, whom the Lord calls true and faithful Israel. She comes to the Lord not puffed up with pride, not with high self-esteem. She crawls to the Lord like an infant, begging and pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, have mercy. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." That's serious business, demon oppression. And it calls for serious trust or faith. And so she calls out with two names she shouldn't even know. She calls him Lord, that is, God of heavens and earth, of the universe. She also calls him Son of David, that is, Messiah, Savior of all people. She's right. And then she prays, "Have mercy on me for the sake of my daughter. Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy." But that's when things get difficult. The Lord does not answer her a word. Deafening silence doesn't stop her. She persists. "Have mercy," she pleads. She seems to be crying out, "Have mercy," so persistently that even the disciples come to Jesus, begging him, saying, "Send her away, for she's crying out after us." And to them, he says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Again, it seems he's rejected her. But she doesn't care. Yes, it's been a difficult day, but she trusts. She knows her Lord. She has faith that he is merciful. Her daughter is possessed, and only the one who is the Word made flesh can do the exorcism. So she comes and kneels before him, crying out again, "Lord, help me. Kyrie eleison, have mercy on me." Seems she's done everything quite right. She's indeed practiced the liturgy like we did here this morning, invoking on the Lord's name and calling out to him for mercy. Yet, even on her knees, pleading to the Lord for the Messiah that she so desperately wants for her daughter, he answers her, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." "Dog, you just called me an animal, a house pet." What a day. Ignored, rejected, and now utterly insulted. And yet, her confidence remains undaunted. She didn't come to him proud or with high esteem, thinking she deserved his mercy. She came to him humbly, even having now been humiliated. But faith cares not. For God-given faith knows that we are, all of us, undeserving of his mercy. Faith is founded upon our Lord's word, especially his word of command, that says that we are all outsiders, illegitimate, not deserving to be called sons or daughters. Faith knows that we are, by nature, according to the flesh, abhorrent to God, just like a Canaanite, deserving nothing but wrath and punishment and utter destruction. But like this one Canaanite, we know, faith knows, the promises. Faith does not flinch under God's terrible judgment against our flesh. Rather, accepts it freely, each awful blow crucifying in us our mortal nature. This is not God trying to hurt or harm us. It is God bringing about our healing, our salvation. Faith knows that God first must put to death the body of death, along with all of its passions and lusts and desires, and then give to us new life. Faith trusts, is confident in the mercy of God. "Remember your steadfast love. Remember your mercy," we sang. "Do not abandon us forever." That's his promise. He's promised to love you. He's promised to take you into his loving embrace. He's promised to nurture you with living bread and take you to streams of living water. Faith knows, yes, the terrible judgments of God against sin, but trusts in his mercy. Even when all that it seems we experience day to day is no, rejection, being ignored, or even insulted. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen. Faith knows that the answer is not always no, but will be yes. That's what the Canaanite woman trusts in, that sort of trust in her Lord. She says, "Your insult is absolutely correct, but Even little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. You're absolutely right, Lord. I'm not worthy to come under your roof. I'm not worthy to be called your child. I'm not even worthy to eat the scraps from the table. Amen, amen, it shall be so. But you have promised your mercy. You've promised to love me, to care for me and my daughter, and I'm holding you to it. That's the genius of this Canaanite woman. She believes, she knows that the Lord has promised mercy, and she's caught him in his word. She's holding him to his word. So it is for us. He has adopted us through the waters of baptism, unworthy as we are. He keeps on casting out all that would oppress us, all the sin that would bind us, all the demonic of our flesh. We can hold him to his promise that he has redeemed us. And on the last day, he will welcome us as he welcomed her, that Canaanite woman, into the new Israel. Thanks be to God that the real Jesus doesn't shy away from calling sin what it is. He doesn't do it to hurt and harm us again. He reveals the darkness inside of each of us to expose it to his light. Great faith knows, as that woman, that he will not leave us condemned. He is simply opening up our hearts to his word to give us forgiveness, to create life where there was once only death. And in this life, the forgiven, baptized life, we plead, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Praying for mercy, trusting that he will hear our prayers and answer them. Praying without ceasing. Yes, it's true that for a time the Lord may seem to say to us, no, not yet, it's not right. It may seem that he ignores us, rejects us, or even insults us. But we know, we trust that his final word will always be in Christ, yes. Yes, you are my child. Yes, I have begotten you in the font by water and word. Yes, my mercy is yours. Yes, you are healed. Yes, even today your body may see decay and you may even die. But I will restore you. I will resurrect you on the last day. So the Lord's invitation rings out as it did for that woman. Come to me. Come to me on your knees, perhaps afflicted by my own word, broken, bruised, hungry. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Come to me and receive the bread of life. That is my flesh to eat and my blood to drink. For your forgiveness, for your life, for your salvation. Even if it seems to us only crumbs from the Master's table, it is the greatest food of all. Thanks be to Jesus, in his holy name. Amen.